Indeed. Give me the Bible. When I have questions about life and about what I should do and how I should live, give me the Bible. Because I know God will teach me the right way for my sake and to His glory. May that always be the desire of each and every one of us. In every phase of our life, may we always say, give me the Bible. Whatever the Bible says, that's what I will do. We're excited today because we stand on the threshold of another week. Next week, of course, we begin our gospel meeting with Brother Mo Haefeli. His wife Judy will be accompanying him. We've had him here before, and we all know how excellent a job he does in presenting God's Word to us. I try to impress upon people when they ask me to come and hold a gospel meeting to them. Sometimes I'll say to them, well, give me a target-rich environment. Give me people that need to obey the gospel and those who need to be restored to Christ so that we can preach the gospel with enthusiasm and it'll touch the hearts of those who need it the most. And so as we think about our gospel meeting coming up, sometimes people ask, well, why do we have them? Why should we have gospel meetings? Sometimes people say, well, I kind of think the age of the gospel meeting has went its way. Let me tell you something. The age of the gospel meeting will never go its way until we don't need the gospel anymore. And we're always going to need the gospel. And there's always going to be those who need to hear the gospel. And there's always going to be those that we need to share the gospel with. And so, beginning next Sunday, we're going to have a special opportunity to share the gospel with others. And you have a special opportunity this week as we prepare for this gospel meeting to invite people to come and hear the blessed Word of God. Why should we have a gospel meeting? Very simply to preach the gospel. 2 Timothy 4 and verses 2 through 4, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers and will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. The time will come, he says. Well, for us, the time has come, hasn't it? The time has come. That's very evident. When we see all of the different doctrines that are being practiced by men, and even the doctrines of men that teach against any doctrine of God, the existence of God, and the character of God, the time has come that they will not endure sound doctrine. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, you're going to continue to preach the word. Because the only thing that's going to turn people from doctrine that is unsound and from error and from sin is that they hear the word and believe it and trust it and obey it. Romans 10 and verses 13 through 17, we're told, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That doesn't mean just, Lord, save me. It means appeal to the Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do? How then shall I call on him in whom they have not believed? How can you call on the Lord if you don't know who the Lord is? Find it. I've mentioned this program a couple different times, and every once in a while, I run across it going through the different channels and so forth. I think it's on the History Channel, which, yeah, I think, pretty sure it is. Ancient aliens. People who don't believe in God. And so they'll explain the way we got here is by aliens started everything. And they'll talk about different formations and different writings and this and that and everything else, instead of the obvious explanation. Well, who are you going to believe? You know, if you were somebody who didn't know what the Bible says, didn't believe what the Bible says, didn't trust what the Bible says, and you listen to that program, you say, well, yeah, maybe that's the way it happened. How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? In other words, unless it's authorized. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Everybody hears something. Everybody has some faith based upon what they've heard. But the faith that saves us comes by hearing the word of God. How are they going to hear unless somebody teaches them? Just like the Ethiopian treasurer, he believed in God. He believed the scriptures. He was reading from Isaiah and he didn't understand what it meant. He was hearing two different explanations. He didn't know which one was right. And Philip taught him. And when he saw the right way, he asked to obey the gospel. Are people hearing and seeing the gospel in your life? Are you inviting people to study the Bible with you? To come to services with you? Do they see in you an example of one who practices the doctrine of Christ? We have an opportunity this week to ramp up our efforts to invite people. And next week, to let this wonderful message of peace and salvation be heard every night of the week. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21, it says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Some people look at preaching and the gospel and the simplicity of God's word as just being too hard to believe. But everybody can believe it. You don't have to be a genius to understand the will of God, because the message of God and the salvation of God, it is not just for geniuses, it's for everyone. Very simple message. That God loves us. We've sinned and separated ourselves from Him, but He's loved us enough to pay the price for our sins with the blood of His own Son, that we might turn from our sins and practice His will as it's revealed in the gospel and the doctrine of Christ. So we have a gospel meeting, obviously, to preach the gospel. We have a gospel meeting to have the opportunity to invite others to come and hear the gospel. We have gospel meetings to build up our faith. It's not just for those who have never heard it. It's for those of us who have heard it, to increase our faith and to increase our knowledge of the faith that has been revealed. In Acts 20 and verse 32, it says, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. We've been studying that in our adult Bible study in Titus chapter 2. And now as we come into chapter 3, that God was not obligated to give us this good news of salvation, but by His very character, He did. Because He loves us, He was moved to save us, to pay the price for us. It says, I commend you to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. The word of God is able to build you up. Are you feeling weak spiritually? The word of God is able to build you up. And so that's why we've been reading our Bibles every day. That's why we're going to read the New Testament through in 3 months, and then again and again. We'll have read it 4 times, the entire New Testament, by the time this year is over. Because the Word of God is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. If you doubt your salvation and where you stand with God, you're not spending enough time in the Word of God. Am I right? If we spend time with God in His Word, we will be built up in the faith and our assurance of salvation that we have in Christ and the need to share it with others. In 1 Peter 1 and verses 12 through 13, speaking of the Old Testament prophets, it says, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us who are this side of the cross, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which the angels desire to look into. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see how the Word of God builds us up? How that those Old Testament prophets, they foretold what was going to happen in Christ and His kingdom and who was going to be for. And yet as they wrote those things and spoke those things, they wondered about, what am I saying? What am I writing? How is this going to happen? They didn't really know. Which shows that they were holy men of God speaking as the Holy Spirit led them. And notice also that he says here that we have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. So the Holy Spirit that made the prophecy is the Holy Spirit that also explained the fulfillment of the prophecy and how to send the gospel. He did it through men. Do you stand in awe of this book and the words that are in this book and how we got them? It's the miracle of the ages. It's the closest thing that you and I will experience in regards to God speaking to us. The words that were spoken then are the words that we can read and are spoken then to us, that we can read and understand. And you know, you might say, boy, I wish I could have heard Paul preach. So do I. Or any of the other New Testament preachers or apostles or whoever it might be. I wish I could have heard them. So do I. But you know, I would have walked away enlightened, but at the same time with questions. I wouldn't be able to do as I do now and study and cross-reference and check and look at all of the proofs of the fact that this is indeed the Word of God. That the Word of God itself proves itself to me. That the Word of God, because of its proven trustworthiness, indeed does build up our faith, our trust, and our practice of what we have learned. Notice he says here, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Do you have a hope of the second coming of Christ and that you will be taken to be with Him for all eternity in the heavenly home of God? That hope is based upon that gospel, that good news of salvation that's in Christ. That gospel That message that God has given us, that's what gives us the hope. A lot of people have a hope of going to heaven, but their hope is not founded in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 1 talks about those who perverted the gospel of Christ. Now, if you believe a perverted gospel, you have a perverted hope. Give me the Bible. Give me the gospel in its simplicity, in its truth, just as it says it. Don't explain it away so that it conforms with the doctrines of men, but let me as a man conform to the doctrine of Christ and display it in the practice of my life. So we have gospel meetings to preach the gospel. We have gospel meetings so that those who have never heard it or obeyed it might do so. We have gospel meetings to build up our faith. And even, you might even say they're like little training camps for us. If you listen to Brother Hafley next week, you're going to hear things that's going to help you in your studies with other people to explain the gospel to them. To try to simplify. You're going to be encouraged. But as we look forward to this gospel meeting, we might ask ourselves, what can each of us do? Well, each of us can think about our gospel meeting as an event. You know, it's not just something that kind of rolls around. It's something to look forward to and prepare for and prioritize in your life next week. I'm reminded of those in Antioch, as told to us in Acts chapter 13 and verses 42 through 44, that the Jews went out of the synagogue and the Gentiles begged that these words of the gospel might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. So these Gentiles, who had not been in compliance with the Mosaic law, but perhaps were looking into the God of the Jews, but now they're hearing that there's a fulfillment of prophecy, that the Messiah has come, that salvation is in Christ Jesus, that it's for all men, not just for the Jews, but it's for all men. It's for the Gentiles as well as for the Jews. And the Gentiles said, "Will you tell us more about this next Sabbath?" Now, the whole city wasn't there that Sabbath, but the next Sabbath it was. What had been going on that week? Those Gentiles had been talking to their friends and their neighbors, telling them what they had heard, telling them that Paul and Barnabas are going to be back at the synagogue next Saturday. You ought to hear what they had to say. And a lot of people wanted to hear what they had to say. Nearly the whole city came together. That's what we need to be doing. Sharing the message of the gospel with people and sharing the message of this gospel meeting with people and encouraging them to prioritize it. Maybe put something else aside so that they can attend this gospel meeting. Yeah, it's only an hour, folks. You know, it's just an hour in the evening. It might take an hour to prepare and to get here, and you go home, and, you know, maybe you're looking at 15, 20 minutes there. Come and see. Come and hear. You might learn something that will save you. You might learn something that will guarantee you a home in heaven. You'll only hear the truth. You're not going to hear anything that's going to hurt you or harm you. Now, it might hurt or harm some things that you believe, but it'll be proven to be true in things that you need to not believe any longer. But come in here. There's nothing to be afraid of. Give me the Bible. That's what you're going to hear next week. We can be praying for this gospel meeting. In Colossians chapter 4 and verses 2 through 3, we're told to continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in prayer with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. Pray earnestly. Be vigilant in prayer with thanksgiving. Pray for Brother Haithley as he prepares these meetings and as he presents these lessons. Pray that the word will find its way into honest and good hearts, that having heard the word will turn from themselves and turn to live a life of salvation and hope to the glory of God. That the mystery that they have of salvation and eternal life and all of those things that are unknown, that the mystery will be revealed in Christ and His message. We can certainly be in attendance next week. It is an event. It's an event that hopefully you've cleared your calendars for. You're planning on being. You're going to prioritize it. Nothing is more important than you being here and supporting Brother Haithley as he here presents these lessons. And you encourage those that are visiting. In Psalm 122 and verse 1, it says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us come into the house of the Lord all next week. Be glad that we have the opportunity to do so, to let the gospel be heard, to share it with others, and let others see that we believe it, and we trust it, and we live it to the glory of God. So certainly be inviting people. I've always been impressed with, you know, the story of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, the first Gentile to obey the gospel, and how he was told to send for Peter, and he will tell you what you have to do. And so he sent for Peter, and Peter came. But when Peter came, it wasn't just Cornelius there. His whole family, all of his friends, all of his neighbors. Notice Acts 10, verse 24. The following day, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. You know what Peter is going to tell me? You need to hear too. What the gospel has said to me, it says to you. It doesn't say one thing to me and another thing to you or someone else. It's the same message for all of us. And we all need to hear it. Believe it. Trust it. Obey it. Live it. We need to be welcoming our visitors as they come in. You know, first impressions are long-lasting impressions. Be friendly. Let them see that we're just people just like everybody else. You know, some people think of church people as holier than thou and all of that type of thing. What did we study this morning from Titus chapter 3? Be gentle, be humble. Welcome people. Arrive early. Don't get here at the last minute, but if you can only get here at the last minute, at least get here at the last minute. Better late than never, they say. But try to be early. Try to be here and get to know visitors as they come in. Know who they are. Linger a little afterwards. For their sake as well. engage in worship. In John 4 and verse 24, Jesus said, those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let us worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let us worship Him with enthusiasm, with joy, with sincerity. Colossians 3 and verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace or favor in your hearts to the Lord. Do you realize that? That when you're singing, you are teaching and admonishing. Do you sing that way? Do you pay attention? Do you read ahead in the lyrics of the song and see what's coming up and are able to emphasize the meaning of those words and the message of that song? Are you singing in a way that you're encouraging and instructing those who are around you? You'll find that your singing is much more meaningful to you as well as to others when you put yourself into it. Song leaders, especially, put yourself into it. Think about the songs that you're going to lead and those that are going to be in attendance. Think about the lesson. Ask Brother Hafley if he has a lesson in mind and what it's going to be about, and try to choose songs that will complement his lesson. Preparing people for what's about to come, and especially offering an invitation song that might be complementary to the lesson as well. And along those lines, let me say this, whether it be in a gospel meeting or even any assembly of worship, when we are preaching the gospel and the invitation song is sung, that is not the time to go to the restroom. That is not the time to excuse yourself from the assembly. There might be somebody who's in their pew and are wanting to come forward, and they would be encouraged if you stepped out and came forward as well. But if you step out and you walk to the back of the building, that's not real encouraging. It's distracting. That the highlight of the worship service, and especially this period of teaching and preaching and encouraging people to obey the gospel, that the highlight of it, the crescendo of it, is the singing of the invitation song. And if we are all teaching and admonishing one another, that's what you should be doing at that time. Inviting people to obey the gospel. Inviting people to come forward. Inviting people to share their needs with us and with God. Not going to the restroom or putting on our coats. This is an intensive period of the worship service. We need to recognize what each and every one of us contribute to it. That you can contribute to encouraging someone or distracting someone at that time. Encourage the preacher and the song leader. Encourage Brother Hafley. Encourage the song leaders to pick songs that go along with the purpose of a gospel meeting and perhaps the lesson that's going to be taught. Let Brother Hafley know that you appreciate the lessons that he's presenting. If you have a topic that you would like to hear a lesson on, let him know. If you are inviting someone to the gospel meeting and they, you know, they're hung up on a particular Bible topic, let Brother Hafley know. And I guarantee you, he'll present a lesson or at least touch upon that point and teach the truth on it in his lesson the night that the person you invite is here. Just let him know. We're a team, okay? We're all in this together. We're asking him to come and to help us teach the gospel to our friends and our neighbors and people in the community. He can most effectively do that when you let him know what your friend and your neighbor has a question about. And I guarantee you he'll teach it truthfully, humbly. He'll teach it with their best interest in mind. He will not embarrass them. He will not embarrass you. He's not going to embarrass us. We know what kind of job he does and what kind of a man he is. We can reap the fruit of having the seed sowed and watered and in the soil of our heart. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you have the opportunity to obey the gospel. You always have that opportunity every day. But especially, you and I are going to hear the word of God. We're going to be encouraged in it. We're going to see it practiced. We're going to be encouraged to practice it ourselves. I'm looking forward to this gospel meeting. I know that many of you are too. But I want to encourage each and every one of us to do all we can to make this a successful event to the glory of God. We have gospel meetings to preach the gospel. Well, we do that every time we come together. Yeah, we do. But you know, we often said that, you know, the Bible, give me the Bible. The Bible says the same thing over and over and over again, just says it different ways, but it says the same thing. Why is that? Because we don't all learn the same way. God knows that. So, Brother Hafley is going to come next week and he's going to preach the same thing that I've been preaching, but there'll be differences to it. It might touch you a little bit different than what I've touched. I hope so. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, I hope you obey the gospel right here this morning. I hope you've been thinking about your soul's condition. If you were to meet the Lord today, are you ready for that? Would he say, well done and good and faithful servant, enter into the joys that I prepared for you? Or would he say, what? Why didn't you ever turn from your sin and make my son the Lord of your life? Do what he teaches you to do. Why did you stomp upon the blood of my son that I had shed for you on your behalf? Depart from me. I never knew you. Certainly you don't want to hear those words. But if you know that's what you would hear, and you want to turn from your sin to practice the righteousness of God, do it today. Everything's ready. And if you're ready, we're ready to assist you. If you're here today, a child of God, and you know you're out of favor with God, James tells us to confess our faults to one another, pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're subject to the invitation today in any way at all, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.